As you know, I have a great interest in robotic automation for gardening and home food production. And I want to give you my thoughts and predictions about when we will have this technology, what it will look like, what it will cost, etc. Now, of course, I'm an AI developer, so I use a lot of AI in writing software. I've been very successful with that, using it every day. I'm very confident that once I get a robotics platform, and I don't know what's going to be the first platform to come along, but it's got to have hands, right? It's got to be able to move around. It's got to have some kind of hand, even if it's just one hand, like a gripper. It could still be a dog robot, but it's got to have a gripper hand, like a dog with a hand, you know what I mean? Or a snout that is the hand, something like that. Or maybe it's a bipedal humanoid type of robot, which is more complex. But whatever it is, I'm confident that I can customize it and make it do things like, you know, plant seeds and pull weeds and harvest vegetables, let's say, although that's way more difficult than other tasks. How do you harvest something without damaging it, for example? How do you even know when it's the right time to harvest it? But many tasks in home food production are just extremely labor intensive. Some of them can be easily automated within the next few years. Others may take a little bit longer. But see, it's the labor of gardening that holds most people back. It's not the cost. People are willing to pay money to grow their own food because they know that food is more valuable, it's more nutritious, it's rewarding. And in terms of self-reliance, you want to grow more of your own food as much as you can, really. But those of you who grow your food, you know it's not just about growing the food. It's also then about, well, preserving it, you know. Then you have to can it, or then you have to freeze it, or then you have to, you know, ferment it or dry it or whatever you're doing. So when you plant a seed, you're signing yourself up for a long series of tasks and responsibilities related to that seed. You know, you plant one like melon plant or something, and now you got to deal with the melon situation for months to come. Or you plant one green bean bush. Now you got to deal with the green bean bush and what do you do with the green beans, etc., right? So you got to carry through this whole thing. Otherwise, it's all wasted time and effort. But if you do carry through, it's worth it. You get amazingly nutrient-rich, better than organic, homegrown, you know, foods and superfoods in some cases that you can keep replanting with new seeds year after year, or, you know, saving the seeds, heirloom seeds. And that's very rewarding. But it's the labor that's been holding people back. So when robots arrive, number one, they're going to be very expensive. So the new Tesla robot, which Elon Musk promises the Tesla robot will be in people's homes in 2027. Well, maybe certain special people, possibly. I don't think they're going to be in many people's homes in 2027. That's more like a 2028 through 2030 type of thing. But eventually, they will be in more and more homes, and I intend to be one of the first to purchase a Tesla robot if I can make it function offline. Okay, so I don't want a robot that's talking to the cloud. I don't want a robot that's spying on me. This is going to be a deal breaker for me, and that might exclude the Tesla robots. I might have to end up with a Chinese robot, which is fine. I don't have anything against Chinese robots. But currently, they mostly lack hands, you know? They lack the fingers to do useful things. For some companies, you can pay extra and get usable hands. But I do know many companies in China are working on hand and finger articulation, and that's a problem that would be solved pretty quickly with some clever engineering. So let's just assume we'll be able to get a robot platform that's got hands. This is going to be a far better solution than trying to automate some kind of a growing rig. For example, there may be like little hydroponic systems with an arm that moves around on some rails, you know, and the arm pulls weeds or something. I don't think in the long run that's not going to fly. It requires too much infrastructure. Whereas if you have a humanoid robot that can do basic gardening and weed pulling and so on, that thing can operate anywhere in your yard, in your garden, on your farm, in a commercial setting or a home setting. And it's actually much safer for it to operate outside compared to inside. So some of you might not want to let your robot come in your house where it's got access to, you know, steak knives and AR-15s and such. But if you keep it outdoors, like a dog, you know, it's like, it's an outdoor robot. And you just have it do outdoor stuff, and maybe it recharges in the shed or something, right? Or in the garage or in the barn. That's going to be acceptable to a lot of people because there's a lot of outdoor tasks, a lot of labor, such as weed pulling, but checking on irrigation, checking on soil moisture here and there, you know, assessing the situation, giving reports. Are there pest infestations on these crops, for example? Or, hey, alerting you, it's time to pick the strawberries, things like that. Or, hey, these crops over here, they're not getting water. How do we get water to this corner of the garden? A lot of things like that. Robots can do a lot of that. So outdoor tasks are going to be, I think, very popular. And I'm not saying that the robots are going to operate in the rain. That would not be advisable. If it's actively raining, you'd want to pull them in. But when it's not raining, and where I live in Texas, it's almost always not raining. So the robot can work every single day. And slowly and surely, it can get things done. Now, here's the thing. Right now, if you want to move a giant pile of compost from point A to point B, you either have to grab a shovel and a wheelbarrow and just go at it yourself. And that's no fun. That's backbreaking work, right? Oh my God. Or you can buy a skid steer machine, which will cost you $100,000 or something. And that makes it very easy. I love that solution, but they run on diesel right now. Although I am checking out an electric skid steer right now from the first green company that I interviewed, so I'll let you know how that goes. But you're going to spend a lot of money on a skid steer or some other vehicle that can, or like a tractor with a bucket on the front, right? So you got to buy a tractor. And yeah, a tractor with a bucket is very handy, but it's still something, it's an engine. It's going to have like DEF fluid requirements, you know, you got to change the oil. A number of things that make it a giant pain in the ass. Whereas if you have a humanoid robot, it's an all-purpose robot, and you may not care how fast the job gets done. You're like, hey, robot, today, you see that giant pile of compost? I just want you to move that pile from point A to point B, even if it takes you 8 hours. Like, here's a bucket and a scoop, you know? Go at it, right? You don't care that the robot's going to have to make 500 trips or something because it's unattended. It can do that kind of task. And between the trips, it's going to have to walk back to the barn and plug itself into the charger and recharge itself. You don't care. It's doing that unattended. And then it goes back and finishes the job of moving the compost pile. So, you know, by the evening, the compost pile is moved. And that's fine. You don't need it moved in 5 minutes. You're not in a hurry on compost, or you don't understand the concept of composting. So there's a lot of tasks that can be slow, just slow and steady and automated. A lot of tasks like that. Weeding, for example. See, every time I try to grow food, I end up waiting too long to pull the weeds. And so I end up with, you know, a weed problem. It's like, dang it, man, if I just pulled a few weeds each day, this would have been great. This would have been super easy. But instead, I'll get busy with something, and then I'm not pulling weeds for 2 weeks, and then I come back and, oh, it's overgrown with weeds. Dang it. But a robot, a humanoid robot, which is an all-purpose robot, or even like a doggy robot, it can have a daily task. Like, hey, good morning, you know, at sunrise, walk around the garden and pull weeds. And maybe it can do that task in 10 or 15 minutes and it's done. And then it has another task, you know, and check for chicken eggs or whatever, you know, make sure the gate is closed. All kinds of like farm and ranch tasks, you know, check on the goats, make sure they're all still here. Just typical tasks, at least at my ranch. Those are the kinds of tasks. And those are things that are easy for robots to do. Even you can even have robots like feed the dogs. Well, you may have to open up the dog food and put it in a giant bucket or a barrel or something. But once it's in there, then you can teach the robot, like lift the lid off the barrel, scoop out the dog food, put it in the bowls, take the bowls to the dogs. You know, you're done. And then pretty soon your dogs will love your robots, by the way. And they'll probably jump all over them too. But many, many tasks, in fact, I would say most tasks in a food production, home setting, or rural setting are not urgent tasks. They are tedious, slow tasks. And that's exactly the kind of task that robots would be great for. They're built for that. Boring, repetitive, monotonous tasks. It's perfect for robots. Now then, in addition to that, remember that your robot can function essentially 24/7, except for when it's charging. And the charging times will get smaller and smaller because the battery technology that's going to be used in robots is leaping forward so rapidly in technology that the charge times are just much shorter just because of the chemistry improvements. So it won't be long before your robot recharge time is 5 minutes. That's it. 5 minutes. Boom. And then it's back and it can work for 8 hours, right? So don't think about charging time as being a big chunk of the robot's day. It's really not going to be. It'll be like 5 minutes every 8 hours or 5 minutes every 4 hours or whatever. It might start out worse than that, but it's going to get to that level before long. You know, it won't take very many years before it's there. So then when the sun goes down and you're done with your robot doing things outside, then with your permission, you could have your robot do things inside. So again, this raises privacy issues. I don't want a robot in my house that is spying on me and reporting to the cloud and whatever. So I'm not going to choose a robot like that. But if it's an open source robot, I can control the code. I can look at the log files and it's local. It doesn't have a Wi-Fi connection. It doesn't talk to satellites. It doesn't plug into Ethernet, right? It's a local robot. And I'm writing the code for what it does. Then I can have it, you know, do laundry eventually. Laundry is not the most complex task. Just piling clothes into the machine and punching the buttons. You know, you can teach robots to do that. And then folding clothes after it comes out of the dryer, etc. That's a skill that can also be fairly relatively easily mastered by a robot that's got hands, right? Cooking is much more complex. Much more complex. Cooking is time sensitive. If you leave something on the stove and it's too hot, it's going to burn. Whereas if you take too long to fold your underwear, it's just slower folding your underwear. It doesn't matter. But stuff on the stove, you know, that's different. Or stuff in a blender. If your robot turns on the blender, you know, there's a blending time. And you don't want to go crazy and have it blend for 20 minutes. So cooking is way more complex. But you know what's possible as an interim stage? Food prep. So, for example, I might still do the cooking, but I have the robot do the food prep. Say, hey, robot, you know, go out in the garden and gather the following things. I want some parsley. You know, I want some rosemary. I want some oregano. Gather a little bit of that. Here's how much we want. We're going to make some stew or something. And then, see these potatoes over here? Wash them. Wash the potatoes. And then maybe eventually, you know, if you trust it enough, you're like, dice the potatoes or something, you know, or you could use a potato dicing machine with a handle on it and the robot just pulls the handle, you see. But you'll have your robot doing things like, you know, prep the onions here or wash the apples or cut the fruit or peel the orange. That's a complex task, actually. Turns out gonna have to have some really nimble fingers to pull that off. But it's coming. One day you'll have robots that will peel oranges. Not right away. That'll take some time, but that's coming. The point is, you can have your robot prep all the ingredients, and then you just cook. Because that's the fun part, isn't it, right? That's the fun part. Doing the cooking. And then, after you eat, You're like, robot, do the dishes, do the cleanup, wash the pan, you know? That's awesome, because that's the part we dread. It's fun to cook. It's a bummer to clean. So let the robot do the cleaning, right? Even if you don't trust the robot to do the cooking. And eventually, of course, the robot will also be able to do the cooking. Now, you might say, well, I just don't trust robots at all. I don't want them in my house at all. Fine. Fine. Have them do the outdoor tasks. That'll still save you so much time that you'll have the time to do the cooking and the food prep and the cleaning if you want to do that. And eventually, one day, you'll be like, why am I doing dishes? Let's just let the robot do this thing. Because it's natural, right? You'll get used to the robot, and then it'll come in and do dishes. But again, I don't trust cloud-connected robots because I don't want it to download some kind of a kill switch. You know, it's like, turn on your humans, like, stab everybody. No, thank you. So I'm not going to have robots connected to the cloud, period. And I'm going to make sure the robots are running on code that I control. And by the way, if I end up coming up with some good code for doing things like planting food, you know, pulling weeds, etc., I will share that code publicly. I'll just publish it as open source code. And if you want, you can download it. You can jam it into your robot if it's the same. Obviously, you have to be the same hardware. And then that could work. You know, frankly, I think there's going to be a whole industry of home robots where, like, think of it this way. You know, like, HP sells the inkjet printers, but they don't really make much money on the printer itself. The printers are cheap, but they make a fortune on the ink, which is wildly overpriced. The way that these home robots are going to work eventually is you'll buy the physical robot hardware at cost, or maybe even at a slight loss to the manufacturer, which is going to bring those prices down. And then you'll pay for programs, behaviors. Like, you'll pay, probably they'll charge a monthly fee, you know, for a robot that does the dishes. Like, how much are you willing to pay for a robot to do dishes? $1 a day? Right? So they'll charge you, you know, $30 a month, or $365 for the whole year, because they want to charge you in advance. And then it'll do dishes for a whole year. And then a year later, it'll be like, you know, you gotta repurchase the dishes program. That's how it's going to work. Trust me, because that's the revenue model for these companies, is to sell by subscription the different skills. But competing against that is going to be people like me who are going to put out open source programs that you never have to pay for. And they probably won't be as good, because we're not going to have a massive multi-million dollar engineering team running, you know, behavioral tests all day. We're going to do the best we can. But there'll be an open source community of people like me who will be building skills and putting them out there for free. So then some robot hardware companies will try to resist that, making their hardware totally secure, kind of like the way Apple does it with their phones, their iPhones. You know, you can't really easily just overwrite the Apple OS and just run all your own software on an iPhone. You can do that on an Android, but not on an iPhone. So robots, companies are going to lock down their robots pretty strongly, I would imagine. And then eventually there'll be a company that's like, we're the open source robot. Like, you buy from us and it's designed to let you modify it. There's going to be those companies. And those are the ones that I will end up supporting and promoting and maybe partnering with one day, who knows. But wouldn't it be cool if one day I could come to you and say, hey, here's a robot. Like, you can buy this robot for whatever, you know, 10 grand. And then we've posted like 300 skills over here, 300 things it can do. You can download those for free. We've made them open source. Of course, you assume the risk of, you know, if these skills don't work quite right, you assume the risk because they're open source, non-commercial. But you can download these and you can modify them. You can switch them up. You can use your own AI to rewrite these skills or whatever. And then you shove them into your robot, let your robot go to town pulling weeds or whatever. That's going to be a pretty cool thing. I can't wait for that personally. I just don't know which robot platform is going to be the one providing the hardware that allows us to do that. But as soon as I find out, I'll let you know. And I'll be buying those systems and then, you know, building out the software and testing the skills in my studio. I was hoping to do that this year, but so far, none of the robot companies are willing to sell me a robot for that purpose. Imagine that. I've asked. I've tried. So maybe it's going to be next year. We'll find out. I've told them, I don't care. I'll buy your robot. I'll pay full price. I'm not asking for a discount. Even if your robot is $50,000, I will buy your $50,000 robot if I can put it to the test in my studio. I want to test its skills. I want to be able to build on it. I want to film videos showing people practical things about these robots. Because I don't know about you, I'm not impressed by dancing robots. I don't care about robots dancing. Do you? Really? I mean, that's just kind of entertainment. Or robots that can do martial arts moves. And like, I don't care. Can it fold laundry? Yeah. You know, can it sweep the floor? That's what I care about. Or I guess, you know, in the old Karate Kid days, wash on, wash off. Can you wash windows? There's your martial art right there. I want you to wash the windows. Well, I guess in the Karate Kid, it was actually wax on, wax off. It was about waxing the car. But you get the idea. I'll say wash on, wash off. I want robots that can clean stuff. Because that's what you need done on your ranch, you know, or your house. You need somebody to clean stuff. Pull weeds, move dirt, collect chicken eggs, you know. The stuff that actually takes your day. So anyway, I will keep you informed on this. You can find more of my commentary and interviews at brightvideos.com. And you can use my free AI answer engine at brightanswers.ai or my free AI book engine that generates books for you on any topic you want at brightlearn.ai. Or you can follow my articles at naturalnews.com. So thank you for listening. I'll keep you posted. Take care. We've got an amazing Labor Day sale event happening right now at healthrangerstore.com/Labor Day, all together, no space. It's such a good deal. We've never put together anything quite like this. Let me show you the page. If you go there right now, you're going to see that you get 3 freebies based on spending different amounts. So if you spend $99, you get a free colloidal silver spray that, and we make that silver ourselves, the colloidal silver solution. That's a $23 value. If you spend $129, and by the way, we have a lot of things on sale, then you also get a free pouch, a 12-ounce pouch of the Groovy Bee Superfood in addition to the colloidal silver spray. And then if you spend $199 or more, you also get, on top of that, you get our free e-course, the Unbreakable course that I just announced that's streaming right now. $129 value. It is a medium resolution download of the course at 480p. You don't get the bonus materials with that, which would be the slides or the transcripts or the audio files, but you get the full course, all 13 chapters as downloadable files. So in other words, if you spend $199 with us right now during our Labor Day sale event, you get the products that you bought for $199, plus you get almost $200 worth of freebies on top of that. Now, here's the course. It's called Unbreakable, Secrets to Genetic Survival in the Age of Spike Shedding and Nuclear Fallout. This is airing right now at brightu.com. And again, you can get the full download of the 480p or medium resolution course just by spending $199 during this sale. Now, what might you want to pick up during this sale? We have these amazing bundles here. We have this Immune Fortress bundle, and these are all priced to be really close to the $199. So you can just pick up one of these bundles and you'll instantly qualify for all 3 of those extra bonus gifts. So this is all about immune support. And then this next one is the Pure Body Detox System, which has, you know, NAC and super anthocyanins and the broccoli sprouts, the freeze-dried, etc. Here's one. It's the Golden Turmeric Plus Mushroom Wellness Bundle. And here's a Total Shield Foundation Bundle that also has spirulina, microalgae superfood, that is extremely important for its phycocyanin content. And then we have the Radiant Defense Antioxidant Kit. You can choose any of these kits or get more than one if you want. And those are prepackaged for you to be just really close to $199. See, this one is $202. So you're going to get a massive value by purchasing this kit. Now, these kits will sell out. Some of them won't last, and we'll remove them from the page, or we'll indicate that they're sold out. So you can also purchase individual products like the broccoli sprouts or chlorella, all lab tested, and spirulina. We've got the number 10 cans, steel cans for long-term storage. We've got pouches, we've got capsules, many different formats, plus these tinctures, and then, you know, NAC here, non-GMO vitamin C, and so much more. In addition to that, we've got some specials that are pretty mind-blowing. Buy one, get one free, BioAstin Hawaiian astaxanthin gummies. So each serving contains 6 milligrams of astaxanthin, which is one of the key nutrients for protecting your cells from oxidation, or protecting from reactive oxygen species, as they're known, ROS. And I cover this in detail in the course, by the way. Also, this is new. We have organic prebiotic fiber, agave inulin, available in 12-ounce packs, back in stock MCT oil, that's, of course, all lab tested and so on. And then we've got all these specials of many different products, like organic oat milk powder, which is one of my favorites. That's how I make milk now. I don't buy, you know, milk from the store. I don't even buy the packaged almond milk or anything like that, because I don't like all the calcium carbonate they put in it. So this doesn't have any added calcium, minerals, or anything like that. It's just got organic oats. So it's a really great product, plus the organic pumpkin spice oat latte. That's going to be really popular in the coming months in the fall season. Lots of products here that are on sale. And then we've got free gifts with your order I already mentioned. Now, check this out. There's something else I want to show you. Near the bottom of this, we have something brand new. You can now see the actual lab results of our products. We are now publishing those lab results. So, for example, if you go to our website and you see the organic pumpkin spice oat latte, you can scroll down and it says here, view lab test reports. If you click on that, it will bring you to this page. We are now publishing from our lab the actual heavy metals test reports that are ISO accredited, or ISO accreditation, the actual score. This is a heavy metals results here. And then here you can see the glyphosate test report, A triple plus rating. You can see the microbiology test report. Everything's passed. You can see aflatoxin and so on. Depending on the product, there can be additional tests. Some products may have atrazine tests or dioxin tests for animal products and so on. So now you can go to our store and you can click on our products and you can see the actual lab testing results for the current lot that is being offered for sale. Talk about transparency. Talk about, you know, just an amazing traceability of how clean these products actually are. Now, we've been doing this testing for many, many years, but now we're putting the actual results online with each product so you can confirm it for yourself to know that you're getting ultra clean products with ultra clean formulations. So nobody else in the world does this like we do it here. Nobody else does all of this testing and offers you these products at these amazing discounted prices with all these free gifts and free knowledge courses and, you know, supporting items. So this is the best time to take advantage of this during our Labor Day sale, which runs through September 8th at 11 a.m. Central Time. So take advantage of this at healthrangerstore.com/Labor Day, and it'll take you right to this page that you see here, where you can see all the specials and you can choose the kits and you can see, you know, the bonuses and everything else that you get. And thank you for your support. We couldn't do it without you. I intend to create more free courses and put those out where you can watch them for free, or you can optionally, you know, purchase them and download them. And it's only because of your support that we are able to do this, that we can do the interviews, that we can have a studio, that we can do the courses, that we can build the AI systems and all the tools that you use that we make available free of charge, like brightanswers.ai. It's because of your support that we are able to do that. So thank you for your support during this Labor Day sale. Again, the URL is healthrangerstore.com/Labor Day, and take advantage of it while supplies last and before the sale ends on September 8th.
I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Thank you for your support. Take care.